AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
Welcome to the fifth episode of Beyond the Baseline Inside Fordham Basketball. I'm your host, Don Dwyer. This will be the busiest intro since starting the pod. So much to get into, from recruiting, A10 Media Day, open practice, recent interviews with coach, and what's ahead for this squad. Also, stay tuned for my interview with former Ram Ryan Rooms, the starting center from the Pecora and Neubauer era. I appreciate Ryan's vulnerability and honesty in that interview. I think you all enjoy it and appreciate what he has to say. So let's start the show with the recruiting, shall we? After releasing last week's episode, Hassan Qureshi from Stepanak High School announced on social media that he committed to Fordham. He's 24/7 Sports' 10th best senior in the state of New York. Last year, he averaged 11 points, 3 assists, and 5 rebounds a game. With the New York Crusaders this weekend in Las Vegas, basically the preseason travel squad for Stepanak High School, he had 13 points and 3 assists in Game 1, then led the scoring on Sunday, 16 points, 4 rebounds, and 2 assists, and in the final game of the showcase, had 13 points, 6 rebounds, 2 blocks, 2 steals, and 2 assists. He did look very good moving around the court and knowing how to get himself opened and get his teammates involved. Very good local commit for the Rams. The last step in was Joel Soriano back in 2018. Also on Sunday, Desmond Bellett Jr. committed to Fordham. Fanstake.com says Bellett Jr., a 6'3" shooting guard from Katz Academy in Massachusetts, a top 40 shooting guard in the 2026 class, stands out for his all-around game, combining scoring at all three levels with strong playmaking and lockdown defense, averaging 12.4 points, 3.7 boards, and 1.6 assists in the BL circuit. Bellett is praised for his ability to create for himself and teammates, his high basketball IQ, and relentless energy on both ends. According to ESPN Recruiting, he's got a scout grade of 81, is ranked 49th best shooting guard, and 6th best player in the state of Massachusetts. So, a New York and Boston addition on top of Frank Siakabay from Virginia. That's 3 recruits for the class of 26. I love that the coaching staff is looking to get younger and athletic for next year's roster. I expect focus on a big or two to help complete this class. The current roster is old, and I expect it to get young and hungry next year. Now to A10 Media Day, where the preseason rankings were released, according to the vote, and kind of expected across the college basketball landscape. Fordham was picked last, 14th, but that doesn't change how hungry the team is to win. Back in the 25-win season just a few years ago, Fordham was picked 11th and finished in the top half of the league. This year, VCU, St. Louis, and Dayton rounded out the top 3 of the league. DeJour Reeves was named to the preseason third team All-A-10, and I honestly expect him to be a lot higher when the season is over. The keys from Coach Magpio and DeJour Reeves' presser is that they have an offensive-efficient team. Coach looking for that in the portal, he said. Everyone on the floor will be a shooter, and they wanted experience for year one with 7 senior grad students on the roster. DeJour is working at the point recently with Christian Henry. Day-Day, as his preferred nickname, said that Christian has a natural confidence running the offense and says that he played off the ball for his entire career up until now. Coach, though, believes he has the skills translatable to run the offense and put the ball in his hands. That offense, as he said, will be a European style. There'll be a lot of moving parts, and anyone can play the point guard position. He mentioned Zariq Nutter could be point forward at times and take control at 6'7". it will be interesting to see that implemented during the non-conference slate. Last thing on media day, during an interview with the Field of 68 crew on X, Coach MacPhail said Akira Jacobs, the 6'10 transfer from Hawaii, could be the X factor for the team this year. Coach said he can stretch the floor and become a nightmare matchup for teams due to his scoring and shooting ability. He said last year Jacobs averaged around 8 points a game, but if he can get to that 11-12 point mark, it could make this team dangerous offensively. Now I want to play the sound bites, but I don't want to get in trouble for recording those. I'm summarizing them at this moment, and we'll leave a link at the bottom in the comments if you want to take a listen to the interviews if you haven't already. Late last week, the Mike MacPhail Show with Andrew Bogish was released. When talking about his team, Coach MacPhail mentioned they are lacking girth in the front court with a true big, but they do have length at the guard and forward spots, and those bigs, Whitborn, Bodija, and Schulte, have the size, but may not be traditional bigs. He said that they will need everyone to contribute on the glass, and he does believe that DeJour Reeves, Nutter, and Louis Lamond will rebound because of their numbers in previous seasons. That should help with attacking the glass. Basically, from looking at the offensive and defensive side of this team, they're going to score. I believe they're going to score 70, 80 plus points a game, but they may struggle defensively at times depending on the matchups. Now, it makes sense, but I'm hoping that they can speed teams up with their length and athleticism, so some of those flaws that might get thrown under the rug or become visible, they become visible, and I'm hoping that it lasts all season. But it might only last in the non-conference. But it's something to note with this roster. Coach MacPhail also mentioned he likes building this team like an NBA team with a big three and then add role players to fill in. He said Reeves and Henry are the big two, with Nutter and Lamond showing that they could be number three on the roster. I like that outlook for team building, and we will see how that plays out this year. Good to know that these three guys are the forces on the court, and role players just need to do what they're best at. Shoot, defend, ball handle, any way that they can impact the game and be the most productive that they can be in the plus-minus column to get a W. I like that this team is old, but doesn't guarantee anything, folks. If you remember last year, Fordham was the oldest in the country, and we know how that turned out. But I like this current bunch of players, and we'll wait for game one on campus about a month from now to get them in true game form and see what they can do. Coach also talked about the schedule and how people, like myself, aren't fully thrilled with the non-conference. He said he wanted to play a lot of home games and did have a bye game from a school in the Northwest. I'm thinking Gonzaga, a fellow Jesuit school, anyone? Just a guess, but he said it wasn't worth it for his team to make a trip across the country for just one game, so we'll see how they do in the non-conference in that mid-season tournament in Canada. He said Iona and Holy Cross are tough and will be the initial challenges on this schedule. The last thing he talked about was the transformation of the MacPhail way. He said that it took the current squad a little time to learn his style of play and practice, despite having several UC Riverside guys on the roster to show them how it's done. He said he had to remember that the guys are not used to this style, and it had to take several reps for everyone because there's transfers and some familiar guys on campus to get used to it. I had a feeling that would happen, but honestly, that's kind of how college basketball is built nowadays, with so many new players on the roster all across the nation. A lot of alums attended the open practice on October 2nd and had a lot of good things to say about the team and the roster and the event itself. I appreciate hearing their feedback, and it made for a good fan experience. Now, while that was a good one, the schools decided to do more. During homecoming next weekend, there will be a morning conversation with AD Charles Guthrie and Coach MacPhail called New Era Fordham Basketball and Beyond. It's October 18th, 10:30 at the McShane Campus Center. You do have to reserve your spot and sign up. I repeat, you do have to reserve your spot and sign up like you did with the open practice. I'll leave a link in the comments below as well. I honestly love this. The more interaction, the more engagement with the fans and the program is so valuable. And you can tell people your vision and bring them on board before the first game of the season. I'm in love with this. And if someone goes, please report me some details. I would love to share with everyone on this platform how it went. That was a long quick hitter segment this week. My interview with former Ram Ryan Rooms coming up next. My next guest played all 4 years in the maroon and white, closed out his career by earning third team all A-10 and second team all Met honors, graduated fifth on the Fordham career block shots list and sixth on the career rebounding list. Ryan Rooms, thanks for joining me. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing great, man. Season for Fordham's just around the corner. So excited for college basketball. What have you been up to?
Man, I'm just trying to figure out life, just like everyone else is doing. Right. I played overseas for quite some time, ended up winning a championship. My third year, had a great time over there. Met a lot of great people. Currently now I'm back home. Work in the Empire State Building. I run their amenity center where we have basketball court, golf simulators, beautiful lounge area. So I run that, oversee the events, and, you know, I'm just still trying to figure it out, you know, trying to figure out life after basketball.
That's amazing. Yeah, we're going to go into your pro career in a bit. It's nice to see you back at home. And you grew up in South Jamaica, Queens. Appreciate that as a city kid who chose Fordham. So first thing, why? And would you like to see more kids from the city come to the Bronx?
So Fordham wasn't my first choice. It was actually TCU. I don't know if anybody ever knew that, actually. But I did sign with TCU. I was out there for the summer session. That's when they were supposed to go to the Big East. Things didn't work out in my favor, so I had to come back home, sat home for a little while. And then Coach Duke actually reached out to me because he was a Cardozo kid also. So he got in touch with me through Ron Nicolario. I wanted to be home. You know, being in Texas, it was tough at the time. You know, I'm a city kid. I'm not from Texas, you know. So seeing different things out there, I'm like, yeah, this is not good for me. So reached out to Coach Duke. We got to talking and, you know, ended up coming to Fordham.
What makes, you know, relooking your career, what made Fordham kind of special for you after those 4 years?
I think the sense of community. You know, when I coming into Fordham and leaving, I was two different Ryans. I think you can see that on the court too. I was a little timid, you know, more of a city kid, and then I kind of like started growing to my manhood, understanding life more, understanding, you know, a lot of things more. It was just a great experience for me. Just meeting the people, teammates I've met, you know, even the people outside of the sports, just overall great people. Even to this day, I literally ran into someone here from Fordham, who's a Fordham alum back in the day, but he was talking about like one time Fordham won out of like, I don't know, but he was happy. He was happy they won their first game. And, you know, just that sense of community, that sense of, you know, understanding and everything.
Fordham's got, you know, great business school, law school, a bunch of other things. When you're on the streets or by the Empire State Building, do people still recognize you?
Actually, yes. I think it was my first month down here. I'm walking through Penn Station and someone says, "Rooms." I had no idea who it was. But show love still, you know, and it's just crazy that people, you know, don't forget you.
One thing you mentioned is, you know, different when you first started to when you ended your career. To me, you know, you had growth throughout every single year. You went from a bench player to a starter, all A-10 player that senior year. What clicked that senior year? I've heard you say it in interviews after games, but like looking back on it, what really clicked for you?
I think it was, honestly, I got to give a lot of credit to Coach Neubauer. Obviously, first of all, I got to give credit to Coach DePauli. So Coach DePauli, that's my guy. We're still in communication to this day. Just a very, very inspiring person. You know what I mean? Like, I've never had a bad day with him. I've never seen him have a bad day, even if, you know, things are going wrong. You know, he's just very, very powerful human being. But a lot of it has to do with Coach Neubauer and Coach Crawford. You know, they installed this battery in my back in the summer session, you know, and it helped a lot. You know, one of the things that he told me, he pulled me to the side when he first got there, he said, "Look up at the banner." He said, "This is going to be one of the years that we get a banner up there." We didn't get it. But, you know, he also told me a lot of things like, you know, you're going to be the best, one of the best bigs in the conference, which was true. He said, you know, we're going to put Fordham back on the map. You know, we were trying to get there. We're definitely getting there. We're definitely better than the years before. But, you know, just that confidence that they instilled with me. They pretty much put a lot of confidence in me. And I believed it. I believed it a lot. Obviously, you can see the difference in my game.
Oh yeah, and talked to Coach DePauly, you know, just a few weeks ago. He mentioned you as well. Go into confidence. How powerful of a attribute that could be on just a person just believing in themselves.
I mean, it's big. I feel like it's 50% confidence, 50% putting the work in, right? Like you can put a lot of work in, as you can see, a lot of players, they work out all day, but if you don't really believe in yourself, then I don't really think the work's really gonna matter that much. So it's 50% work, 50% confidence, and you know, I'm a living testament of it. And just by people telling me, like, you know, I think one of the first conversations Coach Newbar said when he came to me, he says, I'm looking at your numbers, and you know, it's looking like you're not missing. But then I went back, but you're also not shooting. So, you know, just things like that. Like he said, he was absolutely right. I think I averaged probably like 65%, but I wasn't shooting enough. You know, I wasn't shooting enough. So, you know, just him helping me out, you know, just becoming an overall player, you know, I think just boosted my confidence.
So after your career in the Bronx, you started the professional career. Just go through that ride. Take me back to, you know, going from one country to another country, and what did you learn about yourself, and maybe what did you learn culturally?
So my first year was in France. Lucky enough, I did take French in high school and college, so I was okay. I was okay there. And it was kind of like it was tough because that first year was the first coaches that was his first year coaching, and you know we weren't winning a lot. So it kind of took me back to my freshman year, sophomore year, and I remember reaching out to Coach DePauly, and you know I'm like, Coach, you know I don't know what's going on. Like we're not winning. I'm playing well, but we're just not winning. He says, Rooms, you know you've been there. You just gotta keep with it. Unfortunately, we didn't do that well at all that year. And then I ended up going to Brazil, play well over there. We made it to the semis. And then I came back to my first team in France. So I think for me, I learned a lot about being over there just by being by yourself, adapting to a different culture. You know, New York is like hustle and bustle. Everything is just, it's always something going on. Over there, it's very slow, it's very laid back, they're more family oriented. So I think I appreciated that sense of Europe. You know, just slowing down. You know, you don't need to rush all the time. Just relax, enjoy the moment right now, be in the moment, you know, appreciate your family, appreciate the things you have. And, you know, I definitely enjoyed my time being over there, and I appreciate everything that I learned when I was over there.
You know, you probably won as a kid, and you probably won in high school. College was a little difficult, and then, like you said, the beginning of your pros was difficult. Finally winning that ship, what was that like for you?
That was a relief. It was a big relief. Because I'm not sure if anybody knows how European basketball works. If you're not in the within the top of the team, few teams, like say like you're the bottom two, you're going down, in a different level. So my first team, we ended up going down in a different level. So it hurt me a lot, and that's why I ended up going back to the team that we went down in, and ended up winning the championship. So that was really big for me. It was really, really big for me, you know, just to see like, you know. You're able to do this. You know, we won. I won in high school. I made it to the Garden. We lost to the Boys and Girls Club. But we had a really great team. And then college, you know, the situation over there was rocky. So I kind of was doubting myself for a little bit. But winning that championship, that really made me feel like, okay, you belong here, you're in the right place, you know, you're a really good player. So now it's like a sigh of relief after a few years.
And that style of ball, I feel like, is great for bigs because they utilize them way more. Did you notice that at all?
Yeah, so over there, every country is pretty much different. In France, there's a lot of athletic players, right? And it's literally like this, running back and forth. So that was kind of my style, you know, rebounding, kicking it out, running down, setting up, pick, whatever the case may be. So yeah, that was my style, and I think I was in the right place at the right time. Unfortunately, like I said, that first year didn't go too well, but overall, throughout my career, I was in the right place at the right time, and that was my style of basketball.
That's what I love to hear. Going down memory lane now, senior day against URI, you basically put the team on your back. 27 points, 11 rebounds. I remember, you know, thinking about this game, and I was like, they just kept feeding it to Ryan, and he kept producing. Take me back.
I don't know what happened that day. I can't even, I don't know what happened that day. It was just, I think a lot of it had to do with my father. He was there, and my father, I think that was his first college game that he came to. My friends were there from home. My mom was there, my grandma was there, and the Clario was there, and it was like, this could be your last game. Like, this could be your last game. And I don't know if you remember Mandel, he was still hurt. So we didn't really have a lot of help that time, that year. So I'm like, if this is gonna be our last game, we gotta go out. We gotta go out with a bang. And it was, I can't even explain what happened. I just couldn't miss. I remember I took a jump shot, and I didn't, at that time I wasn't shooting jump shots. I was just back to the basket. I did progress my game throughout my adulthood, but I took a jump shot, and it like rattled in. So that's how I know, okay, you can't miss. You can't miss today. So
I love it. I love it. What was it like between TP, Tom Pokora, and Neubauer? Obviously, two different styles. What made you so comfortable that final year? I mean, let's look at the statistics. You set a school career field goal shooting record, 61% your senior year. That's just incredible. Just go into the two different styles and what maybe made you most comfortable.
I think a lot of it had to do with the people around us. That those first few years, CG was there, Frazier was there, Jeff Short was there. Like, looking, if you look on paper, you look at these teams that we've had, we're not supposed to lose. We're not supposed to lose. I think a lot of it just had to do with finding the right pieces, people working on their game properly, and introducing them to the game, the right way, and a lot of like player development. I think we had so much stuff going on. It was hard to pinpoint who's supposed to take this shot, who's supposed to do this shot. So it was a lot going on, and I think Neubauer kind of slowed the game down and slowed things down for us and focused on defense. And we knew where our bread and butter was. It was me at the time, Mandel and Chris Sinkfelder. We knew that those were going to be the bread and butter. Neubauer had a different mindset coming in. He said, he's like a analytics guy. He looks at the numbers. He said, okay, Rooms is not missing, so we have to give Rooms the ball. So pretty much if Mandel didn't have an option, all right, Ryan, we got to get Ryan the ball. And it worked out for the best. I didn't know that I was going to be the go-to guy at the time at all. But like I said, he's an analytics guy. He's looking at the numbers, and it's like at the time that was the best option with Frazier leaving, CG leaving, John Severe, being hurt. Eric leaving, so it's like at the time, like, all right, it just makes more sense.
No, that definitely does. And one thing was you were a captain for 2 years. I'm always curious to ask, who or what led you to have those leadership qualities where, the guys in the locker room are like, hey, this is the guy that's going to be the captain. He's going to lead us the way.
So actually, it was the year, one of the last years TP was there. They brought in some Army vets, and we had like a he put us through some stuff. It was some very challenging things, and from the conversation that they spoke with him, they said, this guy's probably the best guy that you have right now to be the leader of your team. And it kind of went from there. And then being that everyone else had left, Frazier, CG, Eric had left, and I kind of took it upon myself to be like, all right, I got to figure this out, and I want this to be the year that we win. So when Coach Neubauer did come, I told him, like, I've been the captain last year. I would love to for it to be that like that this year. And he said, you got it. And ever since then, it's been like bread and butter, I guess.
That's awesome. That's awesome. And there's a lot of personalities on all of those teams. Do you have any, you still keep in touch with some of the guys? What do you remember the most about maybe some of your teammates that people may not think about or know about them? Maybe the characters or just fun guys?
I'm still in contact with Brian Smith a lot. I spoke, here and there I speak with Travion, but being that time difference when I was over there, it was very tough to get in contact with anyone. I think one thing that people probably don't know I can say about John Severe, he is a really nice guy. Like, I don't know if a lot of people know, like, he does a lot of like giving back in Brooklyn. He does a lot of like free giveaways, basketball shoes, camps, things like that. He's not a talkative guy, but he's a really sweet guy. He if you literally like watch what he does, he's a really sweet guy. So I think a lot of people should give him some credit for being a really nice guy, other than one of the greatest basketball players in New York City.
Oh yeah, and John was always nice to me whenever I talked to him. You're right. He was just you thought he would be like, I'm the best type deal, but he was super humble when you actually talked to him, and he was really nice about it. I only brought up Travion Leonard just because he was so, you guys were like two different people. Like he was just such a burly teddy bear kind of guy who would look like he's gonna, gnaw you, and then you were on the other side. I thought you were gonna run through a brick wall. Like, I don't know. I thought it was a cool tandem. Any cool practice stories with you guys?
That was a while ago. I can't remember any cool ones. But that Trey was my guy. You didn't see me without Trey. You didn't see Trey without me. Trey was my guy. When he transferred, it hurt me a lot. But I do have a story though. When he did transfer, he came back to visit, and I was trying my best to get Coach Pecora, to get him to bring him back. To bring him back. I don't know if that was ever possible, but I'm like, hey, he made a mistake. We gotta get this guy back, and it didn't happen. It clearly didn't happen.
That's so funny. Like you mentioned, there was so much talent on those teams. It almost felt like, for me, like what could have been. Do you ever think of that, and what maybe could have changed? Like you mentioned some development things, but is there something else that maybe could have turned some of those games around and had some more winning records?
Yeah, me and Brian speak about that a lot. I think, like I said, the main thing is the player development. Looking back, like I said, we're not supposed to lose more than 10 games. Not many teams were better than us. I think it's just more of a structured thing and just pride. Like I don't think we didn't have that pride in the sense of we're New York City basketball. It was more so of, okay, I got to get mine. Not a selfish mindset, but it's like, we're not winning, so let me go out there and just try to get mine. But like I said, a lot of it had to do with player development, just putting people in the right positions, understanding like what your role is, and don't step outside of that role. You know what I mean? For the betterment of the team.
College basketball landscape has definitely changed. You mentioned TCU was honestly your first choice. You stayed all 4 years at Fordham. Under the current landscape, where you can kind of basically bounce around, would you have bounced around?
I think it depends, right? I think it depends on the situation. I would have definitely would have loved to graduate from Fordham and had an extra year if possible. Looking back, I probably would have redshirted my freshman year. I don't know if you know the story, but I wasn't supposed to play that first game. My freshman year, we played, I want to say it was Texas Tech. Joel Wright. You remember Joel Wright?
Yeah, that was Texas State, I believe.
Texas State. Okay, yeah, I wasn't
Yeah.
supposed to play that game. I was still un I wasn't qualified yet. Literally, it was like a game time decision. I was on campus, team already left, and at the time they were boarding the plane. It was literally like maybe like 10 minutes before they left, they was leaving. I got qualified, so they literally rushed me to Westchester to the plane, and I got on a plane. I think I should have definitely sat out that year, just to understand the game a little bit more. But I definitely would have graduated from Fordham. If I would have had another 5th year, I probably would have transferred somewhere else.
They talk so much, they analysts and coaches and other people, that the high school game is different than the college game, than the pro game. How much, when you talk about it's being sped up, is it more mental than physical? Kind of go into the speed of the game that maybe people don't understand.
I think it's a little bit of both. I think high school is more like just you don't understand the game. You're just doing stuff. Clearly, it's getting a little bit worse now. No one's really playing no sets, not really playing defense. It's just like go out there and let's hope to win. College, it's a little bit more. You have to think more. You think a little bit more. Pros is a totally different game. It's not so much of just going out there running and trying to overpower people. You literally have to understand the game. Why am I here? Why am I cutting here? Where do I have to be on the court, right? It's not so much of It's a little bit of skill, and it's a little bit of understanding the game.
What is maybe I mentioned the senior day game for you. Is there any other special moment for you on campus or a game that you remember at the Rose Hill Gym?
St. John's, when we beat St. John's, and Chris Mullin was not happy. He was not happy at all. He wasn't a happy camper that game. So,
Nice.
I mean,
Nice.
I think he cursed our court. Yeah,
That's
I think he cursed our court.
what I love to hear. What are you doing now? I saw some YouTube reviews for food. I remember the clothing line, kind of. What have you been getting into?
Everything. I'm trying to do anything and everything, honestly, just to keep busy. But yeah, I do the YouTube for fun, just travel and food reviews. That's just for fun. I did do clothes for a while. I sold a lot of clothes out in France, overly dedicated. Currently, we're working on a platform for college kids to get recruited. Not kids under the radar, obviously. Team Elevated Sports. We had a college showcase, I want to say last year, up in Middletown, New York. We had about 15 college co coaches come out. About 150 kids came out. Right now, we're in talks of developing an app to hopefully enhance the recruiting experience for coaches and players. So.
That's awesome. Was your recruiting experience what kind of maybe you wanted to go into it more? Because I feel like nowadays it's agents and other things versus maybe a family mindset like it was in the past. Maybe going to your recruiting and kind of how you want to use that experience to help with this app.
My recruiting wasn't, it was kind of easy, honestly. I'm not gonna lie. At the time, I was one of the top players in New York City. I think my year with Javon Pinkston, there was a lot of good players. So my recruiting was pretty easy. My problem was my grades. That was the issue. But I think with the changes in NCAA and how recruitment looks right now, it's a lot of people are gonna get overlooked. A lot of people are gonna get overlooked, and I think we have to change how we're recruiting. We have to change. We have to modernize recruiting. One, coaches don't really have a lot of time. There's 16 different platforms. We got to make it easier for them. And two, there's a lot of players that are, they're deserving to be on these stages, but with all the changes, they're not. Unfortunately, they're not going to get the opportunity. So we're trying to make it better for everyone involved, and get people that's going to be overlooked a chance to play.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Last thing, wrapping it all up. You mentioned how much you changed and developed from year to year. If you were to go back and have a conversation with, 17, 18-year-old Ryan, what would it be to get that motivation earlier?
How much time do you have?
Yeah.
I mean, I think for me, the main thing is just appreciate the time that you have in college. You can't get those years back. And Coach DePauw told me all the time, literally went one ear and out the other. Just appreciate the time you have in college. It's going to be the best years of your life. And just, don't rush. There's no need to rush. There's no need to, like, it's going to happen. Slow down. Just basically slow down. I was trying to rush everything. I was trying to do everything. I was trying to be the best of the player that I could be, but it happened eventually. But yeah, just slow down, enjoy the process.
Following up on that, do you ever, I know you're doing new adventures. Do you still want to get on the floor? Do you still play rec games and try to get into playing ball? Or are you like, you know what? I had my time. You know what? This body's taking a rest.
I did stop for some time. I think my last game was May 2023. I recently started working out again. Well, I was working out the whole time, so I'm not, I'm still in shape. I'm still in shape.
Yes, you are.
But I didn't play basketball, right? Like, I just recently started playing basketball, just to get back in shape, back in game shape rather. I like my look when I was there. But yeah, I mean, maybe I'll start playing rec this year. Maybe I'll start getting some leagues and things like that. So who knows? We'll see. We'll see.
Wrapping it all up, when I talk to a lot of former players, the main thing they talk about is missing the locker room and missing the guys. Do you miss that at all?
Yeah, I think I was just talking to one of my guys yesterday about that. I think, it's a lot of things that I miss. Obviously the locker room, the dinners, the road trips, just everything. It's not so much of the basketball part. Obviously, I miss basketball, but just being together, you know, and talking and talking about nonsense, like I miss that, you know, I miss that.
Awesome. Well, Ryan, appreciate you taking some time. Good luck with everything, and we'll stay in touch.
You too, Don.
I want to thank Ryan for his time, and I'm wishing him all the success with that app that he's trying to create and get back into college basketball. He's a real, genuine guy, and you want those guys to succeed. Remember to rate and review the podcast. Tell me how I'm doing and maybe who you want to see participate in an interview for this show. I appreciate you listening and subscribing, and always have a great week and go Rams.